Chapter 35 Sunday, 10:04 p.m. Cindy fluffed her hair and squared her shoulders so that the first camera shot would catch her at her best three-quarters profile before panning to capture her full face. This was what she lived for, what made everything else worthwhile, time on air. Here, she was in control of millions of people, of what they thought, of what they felt. Hell, what they ate for breakfast. Best of all, they invited her into their homes. They wanted her. She pursed her lips, relaxed her neck muscles, waiting for the weekend anchor to finish his lead-in. Thanks to the FBI, her canned footage was being run on every local station. But here at WDDE, she got an additional 3 minutes of airtime with a live intro and wrap-up of the story. After tonight, she'd be famous. The story was perfect. Sexy and scary and sordid. With the federal agent gone bad angle, it was sure to be picked up for national broadcast. Probably a primetime half-hour special if the kid was found dead. The red light on camera one glowed and Cindy began. As she spoke, using her voice and eyes to sell it, she felt heat fire her belly. She pressed her thighs together below the news desk. God, this was better than sex. And then it was done. The cameras were back on the weekend anchor, the lights off her, techs scrambling to relieve her of the microphone and send her offset so they could prep their next shot. She picked her way over the cables taped to the floor and joined the news director in the control room. "How was it?" she asked, knowing she had been brilliant. "Fantastic," he gushed. "When can I get a follow-up? Maybe footage of the old lady locked up?" Guardino had made her go with a fake ending instead of revealing Alicia's real fate. It was either that, or the bitch would pull the plug on everything. No matter. Once the girl was found, dead or alive, but preferably dead for the ratings, Cindy would use Guardino's own heavy-handed tactics to destroy her. When Cindy was done with her, Guardino wouldn't be able to get a job as a crossing guard. "Don't think that's going to happen," she said. "But I could get you more inside stuff from Burroughs, the Pittsburgh detective." The news director frowned. "He's okay, but feds are more glamorous. Get me the lady fed. What's her name? Guardino. You do that, and I'll slot you for prime time tomorrow."
"Any word from the network?"
"Let me worry about the network. You get me the story." He glanced about, made sure no one was within listening range, and slid one hand around to grope her ass. His idea of seduction. "I'll see you later, after we wrap up." Cindy weighed her options. She hoped to see Burroughs again, milk him for info on the case, but he would probably be working the entire night. "Bring champagne and an offer from the network, and I'll get you an exclusive from Guardino." She spun on her 4-inch heels, pausing to look at him over her shoulder, giving him her best vamp, noting with satisfaction that his gaze never left her ass. Walking away, she felt the weight of his stare, felt that everyone in the control room had stopped to look at her, like she was a supernova lighting up the dark room. Retiring to her small office-slash-dressing room, Cindy wondered how long it would be before she got the call to come to D.C. or New York. No more pandering to station managers and news directors, no more talk of the town features. Finally, she would be doing hard news. In the spotlight, front and center, where she belonged. Her door opened as she dreamed of her bright future. She looked in her makeup mirror, saw Burroughs enter, closed the door behind him, leaning against it, silent. "What do you want?" she asked, irritated that he'd backed Guardino and insisted she keep Alicia Fletcher's death a secret. "I played along." He nodded, his gaze fixed on the reflection of her cleavage. She leaned forward, pretending to adjust her eyeliner, giving him a good look. It was as close as he was going to get unless he got her another exclusive. "That's you, Cindy," he drawled, crossing his arms over his chest. Always playing. His shoulders threatened to burst free of his sports jacket, and his stare turned smoldering. She inhaled, enjoying the scent of testosterone that filled the room. They could have a little fun here, she decided. There was time.
You've never minded our games,
she reminded him, smoothing gloss over her lips, enjoying the way his gaze followed her movement.
Face it, Burroughs. You have so much more fun with me than you ever would with Guardino. Besides, after tonight, she's finished.
He gave a little shake of his head, as if warning her away from danger. Cindy ignored it, confident that she had the upper hand.
She owes me.
Big time. Sacrificing my journalistic integrity to save her ass. I want the inside scoop on the investigation. She spun in her chair, now facing him.
Are you going to get it for me? An exclusive?
Her desk phone rang before he could answer. She reached for the receiver, was surprised when he strode across the room to join her.
Cindy Ames, she answered.
Burroughs stabbed the speaker button just as a man's voice came through.
Miss Ames, I'm James Fletcher, Jr. You lied about my mother in your story tonight. I'd like to give you a chance to correct your error.
Cindy scowled at Burroughs as he grabbed her hand, restraining her from silencing the speaker. He jerked his head at the phone, indicating that she should answer Fletcher.
I'm very sorry about your mother, Mr. Fletcher, Cindy said, steadying her voice and trying to mask her fury at Burroughs.
I had no choice. I was forced to report the story the way it aired.
Forced by Agent Guardino?
Yes, sir.
I understand.
There was a pause. Cindy opened her mouth, ready to jump in with an offer of an exclusive interview, but Burroughs held her back. A rustling noise sounded in the background, and then Fletcher's voice returned.
Agent Guardino has a lot to answer for. If I gave you evidence against her, would you be able to promise me that it would air without interference?
I think I could convince my boss of that. If we did the interview on camera and the evidence was compelling.
And you'll include Agent Guardino's responsibility for my mother's death?
Certainly. I was there. I saw what happened.
I know. That's why I came to you. After the way Agent Guardino treated you, I thought you would agree that it is in our mutual interests to keep the FBI and police out of this.
Cindy wondered at that. How the hell had the guy seen her at the nursing home and still managed to escape? Guardino was incompetent.
How would you like to arrange our meeting?
Another pause.
There's a playing field. And Frick Park. The one at the end of Nicholson Street. Be there in 1 hour.
There was a click, and he was gone. The buzz of the dial tone echoed from the speaker as Cindy whirled on Burroughs.
You son of a bitch! You set me up!
Relax, Cindy. He was already dialing his cell phone. You'll still get your story. Anger seethed through her as she listened to him tell Guardino the details of her conversation with Fletcher. She used her own phone to call Felix and arrange for a van.
Burroughs hung up with Guardino just as she finished her conversation. You're not going to be anywhere near that park tonight.
It's a free country, she said, standing and grabbing her bag. You can't stop me.
Like hell I can't.
He blocked her path, both hands coming to rest on her shoulders. His face reddened, and she wasn't sure if he wanted to push her away or pull her close.
It's too dangerous.
It's my job. Besides, you and the FBI will be there. Fletcher won't show without me. No way in hell am I missing this story. Jimmy hung up the payphone at the sheets and returned to his blazer. Ashley hadn't moved, still sat curled up in the passenger seat, looking as deflated as a parade balloon the day after Thanksgiving. Other than the single word and her new name, She hadn't spoken to him. Not at all. Hadn't looked at him or made eye contact either. But still, she had done everything he had asked her. No need to be worried. He'd followed the protocols properly. He'd done it right this time. He slammed the door on purpose to see if she'd jump. Nothing. It was like she was in a coma. Here, but not here. All part of the process. He had to just keep drawing her in. "Remember I told you we couldn't trust the cops?" he asked, not expecting her to answer. "Well, I think I figured out a way to get Bobby, to keep him from hurting anyone else ever again." He paused, glanced over at her, hoping she'd at least show some sign that she heard, that she was interested in what he had to say. He hadn't gone through all this work just to end up with a zombie by his side. He honked the horn at nothing. She didn't flinch, didn't even blink. "Bobby has a woman helping him find girls. Girls just like you. She's a wicked, evil person." Ashley didn't even shrug in her indifference, just stared straight ahead, her eyes not quite shut. "We're going to go meet her, and then we're going to kill her."